Welcome to the Decentered Podcast by WeDistribute, a program that focuses on user empowerment, decentralized communication, and the future of the internet. I'm Sean Tilley, Acting Editor-in-Chief of WeDistribute.
Hi, I'm Norman Schulf, and I'm a writer for the Fediverse Report.
Hey guys, I am Damon Outlaw, and I am also part of the WeDistribute team. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for joining us today. So we've got a lot in the can to talk about for today's podcast. Our biggest emphasis is going to be publishing and content discovery, two of like the biggest problems in decentralized systems, I think, where you've got a lot of stuff all over the place. You're not necessarily all on one server, and it can be kind of hard to figure out, you know, how do I discover the good stuff? How do I get the good stuff to come to me? And also, you know, the kind of question that a lot of publishers are asking is, how do I create a channel that an audience is interested in? How do I put stuff out there and have people receive it rather than just shouting into a void? So we're going to talk about publishing. And I think, you know, you guys have definitely seen on the timeline people talking about this, but a lot of people are looking for an alternative to Substack these days. Substack recently got caught in hot water with their statement that they put out saying that, you know what, yeah, we have Nazi content. We're not going to do anything. We're not going to hold people accountable, and we're not going to demonetize Nazi blogs on our platform. Hamish McKenzie, one of the co-founders of Substack, said something to that effect. And so a lot of people are looking for alternatives. And I think, you know, we might have at least three or four within the Fediverse itself that might serve as a suitable starting point, or at least jumping off point, for people to find that alternative.
Yeah, I think the interesting part is that Substack as a platform is actually really two parts. There's like just pushing an email newsletter out into people's inbox, but there's also a huge social discovery component to it. And I think especially on the second part, the Fediverse, there's some really interesting ideas and platforms that like can work towards the direction that help with social discoverability. For example, the email sending out part, there's platforms like buttondown.email and there's Ghost. And they work, they're great. There's like, they send another email for you, which is good. Helping, yeah, sending emails is awesome. But the interesting part, I think, is the platforms like WordPress and WriteFreely that deliver the social aspect as well. And I think it's worth diving into how they think about that and how they do the social aspects.
Yeah, 100%. And I think like that's kind of an interesting inflection point. A lot of people, when they talk about a newsletter platform, it's actually like not super clear what they're talking about. Like, what even is a newsletter platform in 2023? You know, for example, I've seen Ghost present itself as that at one time or another. I've seen Substack, which is now incorporating microblogging and a whole lot of other, you know, sort of social-centric features. Like, I think at one point in time, we kind of assumed that a newsletter was just kind of a syndicated email that was nicely formatted. Like, you know, you drop something into MailChimp, it gives you a template and you send it to a list of people. But, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the landscape is a lot more sophisticated nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. There's just so many email newsletters and Substacks out there. It's Substack made it almost too easy to send out an email. To start a newsletter. So now the question is really, how do you get discovered in your content? And Substack is good at that. But I think Activity Power Fediverse can be, there's so much more potential to be even better at that.
Yeah, 100%. And that's why I'm, you know, currently very excited about, admittedly, some fledgling offerings that we've had. Like, you know, I think the biggest one that, you know, definitely we lean on for WeDistribute is the fact that we have an ActivityPub plugin for WordPress. The significance of that is that, you know, we're maintaining a blog with a content management system, but when we type up our articles and format them and put our pictures in them and everything, when we publish, we're not just publishing to the web, we're also dispatching that to people's inboxes, both via email as well as into the Fediverse itself. You know, like, I think there still needs to be some love and care taken with the experience. I think Mastodon not natively supporting articles is kind of a problem. But I think there are enough options there where if you wanted to basically like make your website function like a Facebook page or even push out full articles in a long note, you can 100% do that. And Mastodon can easily consume that content. People can respond to it from their timeline, and those will show up as comments in your article. I think this is sort of the first step that we're seeing. I would love to see like a dedicated publishing platform specifically for the Fediverse. But I can't argue with the fact that like both WordPress and now Drupal, the other major CMS that kind of powers a third of the web, they both have ActivityPub support via plugins.
Yeah. I've been using the ActivityPub plugin from a WordPress site and a WordPress newsletter as well. And it's really great. I think what made me realize it is that it actually asks quite a bit of a mind shift of you when you use it. So much of the way of how you use most websites and Substacks as well, more broadly, is the idea of like, how do you get people to go to your website, to come to your place and read your content there? And that's the part that switches around when you start using the ActivityPub plugin part, because then you send content out. And then you don't particularly need people to get on your website anymore. You just need them to see it in like in whatever Mastodon or whatever Fediverse client they're using. Like your website becomes sort of an archive, a home base. It's nice to have. Yeah. It's important to have a home base, but like you want people in the end, most people hopefully not to read it there. And I think that's a very different mind shift that I haven't really fully figured out yet how to make the most of that. But I think it's bigger than people give it, like than people are thinking about so far.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that we're still very much in the beginning phases of other platforms creating content that's not just status updates for the Fediverse. Like, I know that we've had photo and video for years, but I think in terms of like long form content, you know, there's always been like a question, like from you know the Mastodon side, from like the Friendica and Hubzilla side. You know, just from any kind of client-side server application, like, hey, we're getting all this content in from all these places. Like, how do we make it look right? And I think, like, that is kind of the question for the ages for, you know, Mastodon and all these other platforms to figure out is, like, how do we take articles from the web and make them look good within our own clients, but also make it so that, you know, it matches with what the publisher wants it to be? And that's a tough line to straddle, but I think the ActivityPub plugin for WordPress is a good start. What I'm really excited about is seeing publisher platforms like Flipboard really take the initiative and lean into ActivityPub specifically. I think this is going to be a transformative thing, and how they implement it is going to be a big deciding factor for probably a lot of how content's going to be formatted regarding articles and things like that within the ActivityPub standard. So like if Flipboard were to embrace, you know, the article activity type, they would probably have a good way to determine a standardized form for publishing an article and having it look right in the browser. And I think that could be amazing. I think it could be that, you know, you syndicate from your site to content hubs like Flipboard, or, you know, maybe a future version of Newsmast or something like that. They pick up your content and they can read it as if it was native, and then you have native interactions coming back and forth from both platforms. So people are definitely interested in being able to discover things as well as being able to share them and have an audience. I think when you bring in federation, that solves a lot of problems. You're not just trying to build a follower list through email the old way.
Yeah, for sure. I think there's also interesting integrations happening. Well, to come slightly back towards the publishing side, with a very recent new project, distributed inbox, distributed press, and the social inbox, where you can publish now articles and newsletters not only to ActivityPub but to the rest of the decentralized web as well. And I think that's a very interesting way of thinking even more broadly of like, you come into really fundamental questions of what even is the Fediverse, and boundaries start to get really fuzzy. And I think it's healthy that the boundaries get fuzzy and unclear, and that people are experimenting with this sort of cool new features.
Wow. Yeah, no, distributed press is really interesting. I'm looking at their website right now. And, you know, in addition to ActivityPub, as you said, it looks like it's using IPFS and Holepunch. And they're looking at, you know, adding other protocols for distribution like BitTorrent, which is crazy to me. I don't think I've seen a whole lot, other than maybe PeerTube, a whole lot of Fediverse platforms experimenting with that. That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of unexplored space there, and I'm very interested to see where that goes.
100%. But like, you know, I think platforms like Flipboard coming into the Fediverse are also a really exciting thing.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting time. You know, Damon, I think, brought up the other day that you can follow ESPN from Flipboard on the Fediverse now. And I know that, like, for some time we've had, like, relatively high-profile journalism outlets like The Verge and Ars Technica and a couple of places, like, they have Mastodon accounts. But, like, I think this goes a step further where suddenly you have teams of people that are not just, like, setting up a bot to automatically post, but you have people that are actively managing these accounts, and you have like actual syndication coming from the website and dispatching to some kind of content hub within the Fediverse, which really hasn't been done before up to this point. And suddenly, like, you know, instead of all the weird niche things that I'm used to seeing, I can follow, you know, George Takei or, you know, some celebrity if I really wanted to, or I could follow Popular Mechanics or any kind of news source that, like, I would expect on a quote-unquote normal mainstream part of the internet. Like, you can just get it here now, which is crazy. I never thought in all my years that I'd be able to watch sports on the Fediverse. But I think, like, the other side of this is that, you know, it's interesting because there's a bit of a double standard where people are very excited to see platforms like Medium and Flipboard dipping their toes in the water and figuring out, like, how do we build an audience and bring more people into this space? But I think people get really uncomfortable when it comes to Meta and Threads. And I think a lot of people are still kind of trying to figure out, A, how do they feel about that? But also they're kind of wringing their hands over what's going to happen.
Yeah. I think to grab it back to draw like the comparison with Flipboard that we just mentioned in here as well. I think in itself, there's a sense of, well, in most parallels, there's a lot of negative emotions, uncertainty about the feeling of like, hey, there's a very big actor coming into like this, what used to be our small niche part of the internet, which I very much understand. Yeah. And I agree with. And I think it's interesting to that hasn't really fully worked out that idea that it's not just Meta and Threads. It's like other companies like Flipboard as well. And like the dynamic is not just like Threads on the other hand versus the singular Fediverse, but it's suddenly, well, now we have Flipboard. Who else? What's going to come up next? All like different actors talking and thinking and influencing what the Fediverse is, and maybe if the Fediverse even is still a singular thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's been a huge question too, is like, if we take a stance against this, is it going to fragment the network? That's a big thing that I think a lot of people are uncomfortable about at the moment. But on the other hand, like, I think if Threads were to actually pull into the station and finish their ActivityPub integration and start actually federating, it might just inspire like entities like Automattic to finish integrating Tumblr.
Yeah.
And it might inspire a lot of other companies like Flickr, who have like been kind of on the fence about maybe implementing ActivityPub. Like you could have like a dozen different like mainstream platforms suddenly say, hey, you know what? It does make sense for us to federate because we don't have to do all the moderation and content management. Like we can outsource a lot of that.
Yeah.
And we can focus on just engaging with the entire web rather than us trying to own all the operations under our in our house.
Yeah. I think the fragmentation of the network is probably good. Like, it's, I've not 100% sure yet on this, to be honest, but I have noticed that there's so many conflicting ideals living inside the singular Fediverse. Plus the idea of, like, you run your own server, you run your own social network, which, like, that's the core promise of the Fediverse. And, like, you cannot run your new social network if it actually means you become part of, like, this singular coherent vision with one coherent idea and ideology of what the Fediverse is. Like, it doesn't work that way.
And I also think, like, the idea that we should maximize, like, the amount of connections between everybody on the network is an idea that is long past. Like, that is something that comes from the diaspora days where, you know, Federation wasn't that good. And so people were like, well, if I maximize the connections, I'll make sure my messages get out. And I don't think that's really how the Fediverse works nowadays. It's more that people are like, well, you know, I want to make sure my messages get out to the people I want to talk to. I am not that interested in, like, my posts and my videos and my cat pictures going to a Nazi space or, you know, like, something that has a lot of hate speech and racism. Like, most people, they just want to have fun on the internet and do their thing and be part of a space, but they want control over who can see what they post and who can interact with what they post.
Yeah.
And I think cutting off certain parts of the network doesn't break the network. Like, that's the network working as intended.
Yeah, strongly agreed. Somebody the other day posted something that really resonated with me, and that we should learn a very interesting lesson from Blue Sky, in that Blue Sky, people really value the idea of that the network is like this private space on the internet. And, like, for lots of people currently on Blue Sky, they feel very upset about the idea that it's going to become open. Like, they just opened it up that you can see all posts now without the account, and even more upset with the idea of Federation. And, like, you can criticize the idea of, like, hey, you joined a social network that was very explicitly intended to do this, which, fair. But on the other hand, like, apparently there's a very significant need and demand for people of, like, having that private space, like that enclosed space on the internet. And that I think that's a super valuable lesson and idea to take away from Blue Sky. It's like,
oh yeah,
hey, why don't we build, like, we have this easy to plug in software, why can't we build even more private spaces or semi-private spaces on the internet?
Yeah, that's kind of funny to me, because I think this is another version of what's happened with Mastodon, is that people kind of have a set of preconceived notions about how private something is, and then they find out, oh, that's not the case at all.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I thought that posting unlisted meant that people couldn't see it. Or, you know, I thought that posting followers only meant that only certain people could see it. And then suddenly, you know, if you follow someone after they post that, you're going to see it.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of weird expectations, and I think with Blue Sky in particular, the fact that there wasn't a public view for their web interface that led to some false notions that, even if I post something public, only Blue Sky people will see it.
Mm,
yeah. Like, no, you guys are literally building a global public square using the AT protocol.
Yeah.
Like, that's unavoidable. It's gonna end up at a point where Blue Sky posts are going to be what's embedded in people's articles rather than Twitter or X post.
Yeah, for sure. Like,
having a public interface and public access is going to ensure that.
Yeah. But there's also opportunity there. Like, when Blue Sky is starting to open up, like, and there's still people that actually want the more private space of the internet, like, build a semi-enclosed part of the Fediverse that does that for them.
Yeah.
That offers that like more private focused space.
Yeah. No, and I'm excited to see where that goes. Like,
yeah.
I think, to tie it back to what we were talking about before, I think Threads coming into the network is going to probably force a lot of people to do some very important development that we've kind of just put over to the side for way too long. The main thing being privacy controls.
Yeah.
Like, privacy controls and being able to filter in or out connections to other networks based on what their domains are. I think DanceUp was doing some really interesting stuff where server could have a policy that filters everything out, but then you could opt out of that policy and just bring whatever it is you want back in so that you could see it specifically. You know, being able to say like, hey, our server blocks threads, but you can still interact with threads and follow it yourself on our server. We're not going to punish you for that.
Yeah.
It's kind of a cool way to have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah, for sure.
Historically, it's just been admins telling people who they can connect with.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there was also the pop-up I saw in the message in one of the Matrix spaces where Mastodon is going to adopt a similar strategy as PixelFed in that regard, right? And so I think that is, you know, another step in the right direction to allow users to have the control that they kind of desire in terms of dictating what their experiences will be.
I mean, I kind of love this as a hot take of like Twitch joining the Fediverse is good for the reason that it forces us to do like delayed privacy work, like that we've been putting off. Like, I definitely see that. I agree.
Well, I was telling Damon the other day that I think one of the most ironic parts of developing a grassroots, open source, user-centric network is that a lot of things, a lot of the most important parts don't get developed until well after the fact. Like with realizing privacy or like rate limiting on servers or things like that, we're not really going to invest much time into it until we realize we're a little bit too late. Yeah. We're going to say, oh, shit, I should have thought about that like 6 years ago. But no one was going to think about it 6 years ago because it didn't seem like we were going to get that big that fast with some of the biggest players on the internet joining in. So the time is now, unfortunately, for better or worse, but we have this opportunity to say, okay, there's some serious problems with how we've implemented privacy and user access and permissions controls and, you know, getting hammered with millions and millions of activities when my server maybe has the CPU power for a couple dozen people at most. Like, there are some like high level network architecture changes that we could make that would actually benefit us because all of this is happening. It does not have to be a gloom and doom scenario where we're just drowning in a bunch of statuses that no one wants to see.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm feeling pretty optimistic. I think like the biggest thing is just giving people better tools and better control. I think looking at Bonfire, I'm very excited to see some of their ideas with circles and boundaries and user lists.
It's so nice to go back to like the G plus circles.
I feel like we're finally getting something that kind of resembles Diaspora's aspects, although definitely a little more polished. Just having like a way to say, I only want to send this message to this group of people or these two dudes or, you know, my friend Joe and my other friend Jill. Like, not everything has to be a DM. Like, sometimes you just want to have access to a couple of people or a group without it being anything more than that. And Mastodon has lacked that granularity. I think like having a way to say that people can't respond to this post or only people in the receiving group can respond, those things are going to be a huge deal. And honestly, I think it's long overdue.
There's just going to be this flood of 100 million messages and posts. And like, that's just not how it works, right? And so I think there's also some things that need to be cleared up and understood in terms of how federation actually works.
I mean, I think also part of it is just that we've never had something like this happen before. So we don't really have a lot of use cases to explain. Like, you know, I think honestly, they are going to see a lot of traffic, but it's going to be through like the federated timeline, not through just like, oh no, I connected to one person on Threads. Now I'm getting billions of messages from all of Threads. It's going to be like, oh, I'm getting messages from that guy, the posts he's making and the people he's following. So I'm still getting a lot of traffic. I'm not getting everything. But I think the point is that it's unproven at this point as to what it's going to look like.
Yeah. I think there's also part that people haven't really fully taken into consideration yet, which is super funny that Threads is going to be the one to make Federation opt in.
Yeah.
Where the rest of the Fediverse makes Federation opt out, which I have feelings about considering our history with opt in and opt out. But hey, here we are. And I think it's important for people to not have that idea of like, oh, my social network's on Threads. That means I finally get to connect with all of them. Like, very few people ever opt into any service and that's hidden somewhere in settings, regardless of what it is.
Yeah.
And I don't think you should assume that's going to be any different for Federation either. So like, even if they're nice friends, just nice people, etc., and they're willing, like, people forget. People get whatever, confused or bored or whatever. Like, it's a very significant part. I assume the large majority of people on Threads simply won't opt into this.
Yeah. No, I think that's the case. And I think there's an opportunity where maybe somewhere down the road, Threads will have a way to present this as this cool, exciting new thing. You know, hey, you want to follow these websites? You want to talk to these people? Like, there's a way to make that feature seem appealing if they advertise it to people. But yeah, if it just lives in settings, like, only a handful of people are going to be like, hey, what the hell is this? And then click the toggle and then discover there's a whole internet that they can talk to. But, you know, on the other hand, this could be also a rather clever part of a slow rollout where they're just, you know, going to focus on the enthusiasts first before maybe turning it on for everybody.
I think, like, Flipboard's going to hope to be the game changer. Like, that's going to be the household name that people are more familiar, more likely to know than Mastodon is. So maybe the idea of, like, hey, you can opt in on Threads to federate with Flipboard.
Yeah, or Medium if they ever get around to it. Like, I feel like Flipboard becoming something and maybe Newsmast, like, that might inspire, you know, Ghost and Medium and a couple other publishing content hubs to say, hey, you know what? They're doing it. WordPress is doing it. Let's just all federate. Like, at some point, that makes economic sense to them, and then suddenly the value proposition will make sense to users.
Agree. And my guess very much specifically for Tumblr is that they're just sort of putting these feelers out. Like, they put it on the back burner again, but not completely, to have like Tumblr integrate with the Threadiverse. And I feel like they're all just looking a little bit like, hey, what are the other parties doing?
Yeah.
What is Threads doing? Like, is this successful? Is it worth putting in the time and money and engineering effort? And I have a feeling they're just kind of waiting to get an answer. And if the answer is yes, they're just all going to go for it.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, there's been talk in the past of like Tumblr becoming an open source, self-hostable platform that does federation and stuff. And I think that all would be really cool. But I think the main value proposition for me is that if they do it, I can get my wife to actually be on the Fediverse without having her switch to another platform. Like, she can just be on Tumblr and I can interact with her.
Yeah.
So fingers crossed, but you know, it's a long development, and Tumblr is a very old platform at this point. They have probably inherited a lot of technical debt. So trying to make a big sweeping change to their architecture, probably going to take a lot of time. I think nowadays, like, a lot of services probably have more of a playbook to look at compared to what came before. Like, at the very least, like, Threads, you know, they can sit down and say, you know, hey, here's the source code for PixelFed and how they did it. And they can study it and be like, well, this makes sense for us. Or they can say, you know, actually, this thing that Mastodon makes sense for us. Or they could try something totally bespoke and do compatibility testing. Like, I think moving forward, that's going to be a really important thing, is that we're testing against a platform agnostic standard, just so that it works for everybody rather than we all just assume that everything is Mastodon.
Yeah. Finally, saw a developer network called Funding for this to build this testing suite. But
yeah,
like we said, like, this has been a long time in the making and way, way overdue. And it's
oh my God.
It's very exciting that it's actually happening, but man, this should have happened so much sooner.
This should have happened like 10 years ago, which is sad, but like, that's just how it is. I think it's really funny though, because the original quote unquote ActivityPub test suite was basically just a questionnaire that developers filled out. Like, it wasn't an actual testing suite that ran a series of very difficult tests for a server to perform. It was just some guy filling out like 20 questions and saying, oh, it does this, has this feature. Here you go. Here's the report. When really we need like an automated test suite that people can submit like code builds against, like, they can have a continuous integration that will, whenever they put out an update to their code in a repo, it'll run tests and say, yes, that works with the core suite. And then, you know, all these different projects say, yep, you know, we have a standard thing to test against, rather than something breaking and everyone guessing and trying to figure it out.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Lawrence, you know, I know that you've been doing the last week in the Fediverse stuff. Is there any interesting topics that you want to cover?
PeerTube, obviously. Well, obviously. I hosted a live stream with them like 2 weeks ago. It was super fun. They did their, gave their yearly plans for last year, what they worked on, and what they're going to be working on for 2024.
Wow.
And yeah, it's pretty big. They're going full ahead on PeerTube. They got a second developer to work on it. It's very, very fun to hear them talk about. And see Pihu, like the product owner of PeerTube from Pharmasoft, to get, like, he's very excited, passionate, but it's such a small organization. And seeing them make you such a big deal of, like, going from one to two developers.
Yeah.
It's completely understandable, the right choice, but it's really helpful to make the scale visible and the scale differences visible when you talk about threats in the Fediverse and Mastodon. It's absolutely unbelievable. And I think the blog post today, it's very much worth reading. They go into a little bit more detail as well of, like, hey, this is why we see PeerTube as an alternative to YouTube and Twitch, but very much not as a rival. Simply because, like, the sense of scale is enormous.
Yeah.
And, like, unbelievably large. So they can only be an alternative that, like, focuses on their own values. And so build what they think is important in software, and not just try to be the new YouTube, because that comes with so much problems that they're very much not equipped to handle with.
Got to manage expectations at the end of the day. Like, and yeah, they're going with being an alternative rather than being the alternative or the rival to YouTube, because, like, YouTube is so big in terms of how much content it has and the mechanisms it has for paying out creators and the programs that Google has for discovery and search and indexing and just all sorts of crazy stuff. Like, I think, like, with PeerTube, they're just like, well, we can do these things. We can federate. We can, you know, have people put things in object storage. We can make it, you know, cheaper and faster and more efficient. But, like, at the end of the day, like, it's a much harder path for PeerTube to figure out, like, hey, we're going to convert all of the YouTubers to use our platform. Like, that's not what they're doing.
No, that's not what they're doing at all, which is good.
Yeah.
But I think they still need to lean more into, like, the realization for themselves of, like, what it means to be an alternative. Because one anecdote from a live stream that I found by far the most striking is this year they delivered a new feature with Password Protect, so you can simply set a password for all your videos.
Yeah.
And turns out, great feature, like, awesome. Specifically a great feature for any sort of creators that has, like, a Patreon or whatever, like, that has paid subscribers, and you want to deliver, like, a locked video only to people to pay you or only to a small subset of the population, whatever. And, like, they just built that feature because they thought, yeah, why not build that feature? It was on the wish list somewhere.
That would be cool.
Without realizing that for creators, this is the big thing that makes it, like, actually relevant and interesting as an alternative to YouTube, like, as something different that enables new use cases that they currently cannot do with YouTube.
Yeah.
And the fact that that was unexpected for Pharmasoft and the PeerTube developers says a lot about me of, like, there's so much potential still of, like,
yes,
hey, like, be this alternative, be something different, be a different form of a video hosting platform that speaks to a different audience. And, well, the fact that it already happens by accident is great, but, like, I wish there was even more focus on it. And it's clear that they are focusing on for next year, so who knows how that's going to look like.
No, it really seems like they're doubling down on their development, and I'm very excited for them, especially, you know, I run a PeerTube host. I am definitely seeing a lot of growth and excitement from people that are looking for that alternative. And I think, like, probably within the next year or so, we're probably going to see a similar migration towards to what we saw with Reddit and what we saw with Twitter. There are a lot of people that are unhappy with YouTube and the way that things work over there. And a lot of people, they don't want to have to deal with seeing five different ads just to watch a 20-second video, you know. They want to be able to sit down and share what they want to share and not worry about, you know, monetization, not worry about, like, programming their video to look a certain way, say certain things, have a thumbnail that looks a certain way, because there's not really an algorithm that works in that sense with PeerTube. It's just, it's a different form of discovery, and I think people are excited about that.
Yeah.
But what I'm most excited about is that they're finally going to be working on a mobile app.
Yeah.
Which sounds like not that big of a deal, but this has always been a pain point for me, because, like, the browser is fine. It's fine on the web, but having a dedicated app for a lot of people makes all the difference in the world. Being able to take that on the go with you, easily watch and interact with videos, that's gonna put that in the hands of, like, you know, thousands of people that maybe they don't necessarily have a computer as their internet first device. Maybe the main way they interact with the web is through mobile clients.
Mm.
And I think, like, that could actually be a significant development for just creating and consuming content from PeerTube.
Yeah, like, it's kind of a no-brainer at this point. If you want to increase your audience, you do have to have a mobile app. But I am very curious how this is going to go, because Owncast, like the Federated Live Streaming only service, they built an Apple, like an iOS last October or something, and they could not get it past the Apple approval system, because they had their directory that allows for any sort of stream. And Apple said, like, no, you have to have ownership of every, like, of the content that you can view in your app. And, well, obviously that's impossible, like, in a decentralized self-hosting system. Like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So Owncast tried to get lawyers to figure this out, but Apple's approval system is already notorious for, like, being opaque and unusable.
Yeah.
And that them not being able to understand how federated and decentralized networks work, it's no surprise. But Pharmasoft and PeerTube definitely paid attention to this. They were very much like, we're going to build an Apple, like an iOS app. We're not guaranteed that the iOS app will actually be released on the App Store because of Apple.
Yeah,
like,
it might be that users have to sideload it, which is itself a funny development, because now Apple has to allow that. One way or another,
it's like,
there will be an iOS app. It's just that, you know, that PeerTube probably will have to have some asterisks about, like, hey, like, this is just a client. The client does not come with a dedicated directory discovery system. You have to log into a server for that. Like, maybe that was, like, kind of a mistake on Owncast's part, is that, you know, that discovery mechanism was part of the service and the app. Maybe we could have a more Mastodon like situation where it's like, hey, this is just a client for posting and reading things. Like, it doesn't actually come with any content at all. Like, there's got to be a way around that. But yeah, the publishing process is just awful for iOS developers, and it's going to be kind of an ongoing battle for anybody that's building apps for the Fediverse.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, progressive web apps, I guess.
Yeah. Well, thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Decentered podcast by We Distribute. Check out our site at wedistribute.org. Follow us on Mastodon or any of the websites that we have listed on our site. And support us at either patreon.com/wedistribute or opencollective.com/wedistribute. My co-hosts are Lawrence Hove and Damon Outlaw, and you've been the best. Thank you.